Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading is a reading from Acts. Peter addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his spirit, your servant, Jesus, whom we handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate. Though he had decided to release him, but you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Now we'll read responsibly Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
You mortals, how long will you dishonor my glory? How long will you love illusions and see me out of the lies?
Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. The Lord will hear me when I call.
Tremble then and do not sin. Speak to your heart in silence upon your bed.
Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
Many are saying, who will show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord.
You have put gladness in my heart more than when grain and wine abound.
In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, may make me rest secure.
Our second reading is a reading from 1 John. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What will we be as has not yet been revealed? What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know what he revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Context matters. Audience matters. Intention matters. When people pay close attention to how they tell the story, they begin to realize ways that their telling shifts. Sometimes the audience gives cues to change. Other times they just know that they cannot tell the story quite the same way. Sometimes the goal of telling the story matters when one commits to write an orderly account so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed, as the author of Luke has. The truth, or the story, comes out one way. Certainly, Luke used an outline very similar to that of the Gospel according to Mark and Matthew. When one determines to fit the story into the grand cosmic and theological understanding, as John does with his first words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," the author's focus differs. On this third Sunday of Easter, the church hears from a third gospel. On Easter Sunday, the resurrection account came from Mark. That story ended abruptly with the women fleeing the tomb, seized by terror and amazement, saying nothing to anyone. On the second Sunday of Easter, the account came from John, who recounted the evening of the resurrection, and again a week later, when Jesus appears in a locked room, speaks peace, shows those gathered his hands and his side, breathes Holy Spirit on them and new creation with it, sending them to the world forgiving and retaining sin. In Mark, Jesus promised to meet them in the disciples in Galilee, where their ministry started together. In John, Jesus shows up where they are, locked away in fear. Having heard from the Gospel according to Mark and according to John, today the church hears from Luke's account of that evening of the resurrection. It may help to remember that Luke's telling his audience that Jesus himself stood among them is not the beginning of the story. No, in Luke, two disciples had headed home, headed to Emmaus. As they walked, an unknown person joined them and asked them, "Well, what had they been discussing on their way?" In the end, Jesus revealed himself to them in the breaking of bread at their place. Then he vanished Immediately, those disciples returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 disciples and their companions gathered together, and began recounting their experience. In the midst of their telling their story of seeing Jesus, Jesus appears to all who have gathered. Peace be with you. Michael Joseph Payne notes that in the early Christian context, it is expected to greet someone with the word peace. This greeting communicates a wish for communal well-being, also related to the Hebrew notion of shalom. In the third gospel, in Luke, peace is also used as a substitution for salvation. Therefore, when Jesus greets someone with peace, it has an enhanced meaning. Peace and salvation, Jesus speaks to all who hear. Perhaps now more than ever, followers of Jesus need to hear this greeting of peace. It transcends mere greeting. It moves beyond hope for communal calm, comfort, well-being. Indeed, this greeting from Jesus conveys a promise of salvation. Years ago, seminarians and others began watching movies together and with groups. During the discussion time, they asked three questions. First, what is salvation in this movie? Second, who is Christ? Who is the Christ figure, the Savior in this movie? And third, how does this image of salvation line up with Christian witness and with Jesus? Leaders have used a similar process to consider pop music. It helps people, young and old, to listen critically to the larger culture. As people yearn for peace, for comfort, for confidence, for security, for hope, I wonder how this series of questions could assist in thinking about the messages shared in advertisements, from political campaigns, throughout so many aspects of this nation's shared life together. What saves? What is salvation communicated by this media, by this person, by this event? Who represents the Savior? How does this align with the gospel witness? In Mark, Jesus promises to meet disciples where it all started. In John, Jesus meets his followers in their locked room. In Luke, Jesus meets followers on their journey and in their gathering space. Jesus offers peace and salvation. Jesus commissions all who hear to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. This proclamation follows the pattern and path of Jesus, announcing the reign of God come near, working for the well-being of the lowly, the small, the sick, the hopeless. His ministry challenged the assumed natural order and welcomed outcasts and sinners. Instead of coming as a strong man, as a champion with great military might, he suffered humiliation, torture, and death. through all this by the resurrection power and authority of God, Jesus vanquishes the final foe, death itself. So little of this looks like salvation and life through typical human eyes. Yet this is the ministry, the path, the wisdom of God. This way, followers of Jesus care for the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the poor, the powerless. This is the way to share Christ in faith, fellowship, and service. In the midst of it all, context matters, as do the audience, the author, the intention. Let us go out bearing witness to peace and salvation through Jesus Christ, a witness of grace, life, and hope, born of apparent weakness and loss. For we are resurrection people.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.